Does your employer pay for training or education that could help you in your job today? Then, IT folks, this is for you. CBT Nuggets offers online IT training that's affordable and, dare we say, fun. From networking and cybersecurity to data science, CBT Nuggets has the training to get you through the workday. With our courses, you'll build real-world skills with short, engaging videos, hands-on virtual labs, and quiz questions to test what you've learned. Go to cbtnuggets.com and check it out. Our online platform launches right in your browser. No expensive hardware or software is needed to start. The best part? You can watch and learn at your own pace, on your schedule. cbtnuggets.com. It's IT training for all levels. From beginner-level courses to advanced network training, our expert instructors give you information that's informative, meaningful, and engaging. We've been helping learners for over 25 years, and we're a trusted name in IT training. So tell your boss it's time for CBT Nuggets IT training. Go to cbtnuggets.com and get started today.
So the chemistry, hey, it's JD here, and we are assembled courageously around a virtual table here in cyberspace. I am joined by Sarah J, Shireen from Sacramento, and Tom from Belgium. Gang, I really appreciate you showing up on a Friday evening. Some of us it's early evening, some of us it's into Saturday. Yep. So I do appreciate that. Tom, how you doing? We just heard from you this past week, but I was just reminiscing with you that we recorded that in March.
We recorded that in March. I think I mentioned it during the episode that as it's recorded, number 31 had just come out. Okay, no, 32 had just come out. Yeah. Because I remember having just been outraged that Emperor Penguin had gone up that early. And had it been later, I would have been outraged at some of the other ones as well. So,
Ooh, I can't wait for that then.
Yeah, I've got a lot of
text. Shireen, from Sacramento. Yay. What's shaking?
I don't know, not a lot. I just finished work, so I'm just cruising in here to talk
about
some chilling hip.
Out. Yeah. Talking about the hip with some pals. Yeah.
That's right.
That's all we're doing. Yeah. Sarah J.
Hi. How are you?
How's it going? I'm great. Yeah.
We got to hang out earlier this week.
We sure did. That was a lot of fun.
Nice little day jaunt up to Canada and back. It was great. And I got donuts on the way home too. So.
No, where do you get the donuts again?
It's called Beechwood Donuts in St. Catharines.
There you go.
And they were
in St. Kitts.
I will drive back just for donuts. That will happen. It's only an hour. It's okay.
So if you are joining us here in the chat, we can see you and we will do our best to respond to you. And it would be great to hear from you as well. So welcome. Let's get right into this. We have unveiled at this point 30 songs. Song number 40 through song number 11, which was New Orleans is Sinking, which was brought to us by Tom Belgium. So we will start with him. And what I'm looking for here, Tom, is, you know, just a kickoff hot take on the list as a whole.
Hot take. Well, my hottest take probably generated by the fact that I have been basically not plugged into the online community at all up until this point. I feel like, I mean, I'm looking at my spreadsheet. I've got so many. I don't have, this is my least defensible take, by the way, if you want the hottest one.
All right.
I didn't even have Nautical Disaster in my top 40, and it's made the top 10.
Wow.
And if you ask me to defend that, I will not be able to.
There's just so many songs. That's what you could do. That's how you could defend yourself. But my God, that's one of the top 10 best.
Yeah. Objectively it is, but I went for my favorites. And I could come up with reasons, but then you could also say, well, how does this not apply to, I don't know, Locked in the Trunk of a Car or Fiddler's Green? And I could not tell you why, but it just did not make it in there.
Jareen, what do you think of that hot take? What do you think, Nautical Disaster not in the top 10?
I think that's a pretty hot take, but I understand. Sometimes you pick 20 songs and it's not there. And that's what happened with 100th Meridian for me. I just didn't think of it for my top 20 at all. Like, at all. And I love that
song. You hear it and you're like, oh. Yeah, right?
Yeah. But I did get Nautical Disaster, so it was right on that one. I'm hoping it goes high, like high.
How high do you think it can go? Do you think it could be a number one?
I maybe three. We'll go three. It's only number seven on my list.
So. Okay. But your objective list is seven. Your personal push would be three.
Yeah, and I have six left, so I'm pretty happy with my average hip fanness.
So what is your hot take?
What is my hot take? I think It's a Good Life If You Don't Weaken is just too far down the list. That's one.
It landed at 17, right?
18.
Something like that?
18. Yeah.
And we'll pull this up now. That way we don't have to, have to guess.
I think that's just 18. One of their top echelon for me. Like, I really love that song and I just, I'm surprised. What do you guys think?
I think the opposite. I think it's too high. For me, it's in the same tier as Nautical Disaster in that it's in my top 65. So I made a list, like I said, of 65 songs that do something for me, and it's in that, but it's not in my top 40.
I love this idea, though, having a list that's like that.
Yeah.
That is a good list.
Yeah. That's an amazing idea, because it still gives, you know, those other songs their proper spot. Because like you said, Shireen, you're like, oh, I forgot about this one, and you want to try to fit it in there, but, you know, you can't put two in one spot. So, as much as we want to.
I look at it right away and I try to look at the songs beneath it. And I go, well, okay, so Wheat Kings, is it beneath It's a Good Life If You Don't Weaken? No, it's just not. At the 100th Meridian, I'd lump it in. Fireworks? Nope. Escape? Yeah, it's higher.
Fully Completely.
I think it belongs to be higher. Gift Shop, probably not. And New Orleans Is Sinking, definitely not. So that's why I would have it a bit lower, Tom. That's just my hot take rationale, you know, just off the top.
No, absolutely.
But it's not any more valid than yours, right? It's just...
Yeah, I just did it by how much I enjoyed them as opposed to how good they are. And do I enjoy it more than any of the 17 songs ahead of it? No. Do I enjoy songs that were, you know, below it on the ranking more than that? Yeah, quite a few of them. That's pretty much my entire rationale.
And it depends on the
day. But I do enjoy it.
Yeah, same. New Orleans Is Sinking. I'm gonna say I'm glad it's gone. I didn't want that to take a top spot. I didn't.
I was going to bring up Justin's hot take from the group. I had it written here.
Yeah.
Where he was talking about it too. He said, hot take from a know-it-all. New Orleans Is Sinking is a great song and an entry point for a lot of people, but it's not top 10 material. It got right to the doorstep, and that's fine. We all love the song, but we don't need to hear it every day. So that was Justin St. Louis's hot take from this week's song.
And that's perfect. Perfectly said. Like, that's it. We just don't need to hear that song anymore.
I do agree with that. And to be fair, I haven't had that much exposure to it as someone who is not from Canada. But yeah, I think I said in my episode, it's in my top 40, but not my top 20.
Mm-hmm. That seems about right. Yeah.
It's a very good song, but I love more than 20 of their songs more than I do New Orleans Is Sinking.
Right.
Because they have so many great songs. That's just...
New Orleans is beat better than New Orleans.
Now there's a hot take.
I would agree with you. I'm so in love with that song right now.
I am too. That's a great record.
Yeah. Well, Sarah J.
I'm trying to.
The arrow is pointing in your direction now.
Okay, hold on. I'm trying to make this work on Instagram too. So sorry for like staring at the screen all like intently. I will figure out this Instagram thing someday. Okay, so what do you want me to say? Okay. Well, I mean, I've pretty much shared like my hot takes every week on Sunday. Listen, it's a round table and we can't go through the round table without me bringing up the fact that my number one came in at 118 on the countdown. Yes. So there's a stat for you, Thomas.
Yeah, I do remember hearing this. So I don't get to complain about how low mine came. So.
Yeah, you mentioned that in your episode too. I can't remember the song that you were talking about.
It was Scared, which is 28.
That's a great choice. I had to look up what 118 was, Sarah. All Four Up is a pretty good choice, pretty deep cut.
I will always bring it up. And, you know, to Jamie's point, because you had said, you know, if you had known a couple of things about this show in hindsight, you wouldn't have done the road to the top 40. And I think that, you know, for me, having my number one song rank that high, I mean, first of all, that's usually the case for me anyways with music. And mine is very, you know, not status quo. So I really kind of wasn't surprised to see that anyways. But it kind of like, I don't know, in a way gave me like a different outlook going into the countdown a little bit. It's just been really interesting to watch them all unfold. And then everybody, as we get closer to the top 10, like be so fierce in their feelings about where things are ranking. Like, I'm really looking forward to seeing how everybody reacts to these next ones coming out. Like passionate everybody really gets about the way that these have been ranking. And I'm curious too, like behind the scenes, what songs like squeaked ahead of the other one by just one vote. That to me would be really interesting to know. Like, it was only one vote that...
Full vote breakdown, yeah.
Were there any ties?
For sure. Were there any ties? That's a great question, too. Like, were there any ties? Was everything, that's what I want to know.
Where were your... I will look at getting that out there. For sure I will. Yeah. And, you know, if I could do, again, like Sarah J is right. If I could do it again, I wouldn't do the Road to the Top 40 because how much more exciting would it be right now? Tom's got a list of probably 25 songs or something like that that we haven't heard from yet. You know,
yeah.
And the list would be like 100 songs instead that we hadn't heard from. And
yeah, somebody else like, made oh, a. Shit.
Somebody I mean, else. It would still be fairly easy to tell what songs would still be left on the board. Well, I say that. I look at a couple of the ones that didn't make the top 40, and I can see, for instance, Twist My Arm making the top 10, for instance, right?
And it didn't make the top 40, right?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, so same. My number two song on that day was World Container. I love that song.
Me too.
It's my top songs, and it's not in the top 40.
Yeah, that just made my top 20, Well Container.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell you just from memory that, and I mean, you can see in the data in front of us, I'm sure Tom's got it more broken down than I do, but you can see in the data in front of us, it is, especially as we get into the lower numbers, it is skewed to that 91 to 96 era, sort of, it seems to me.
Yeah.
And
that's not a bad thing, but, especially... Well, let me ask you this. What is the most surprising song for you that made the list so far? I look at the list, and I'll kick this off for you guys. I look at the list, and I am shocked, not only at its position, but the fact that it made the list at all and then made it to 33, and that's at Transformation.
I was going to say the exact same thing. Yep.
100%.
Yeah,
that's strange for me, right? Because that didn't make my list for the simple reason that I had not heard it at the time that I made my list. But once I did, I think, would it have made my top 40? Probably not, but I don't think it doesn't deserve to be there. There's a couple of songs I had heard that didn't make my top 65 and are in that top 40. And that's Looking for a Place to Happen and Springtime in Vienna.
So those are two of my tops, and they're just personal kind of anthem songs, right? And Springtime in Vienna is my like all-time favorite hip song for years and years and years. So
it's a great tune. I've been listening to that a bunch lately, and part of that is because Craig shared that video of his band. They just covered that. His
band is awesome. Up,
and it was, they did a really great job with it. So then, of course, I have to go back and, listen to it, which has spawned me into listening to Trouble at the Hen House. And also, that's because of Matt, when we sat down with Matt earlier this week, and he brought up that album several times while we were hanging out with him on Wednesday. And so, combined with both those things, I've been listening to that album a bunch, which I'm grateful for because I definitely haven't spent enough time with that album, I feel, especially recently. So, it's been really nice to go back and really appreciate it for what it is and where the band was at that time and everything too. It's really nice to spend some time with that album lately, for sure.
I agree. And to be clear, Springtime in Vienna, I don't have an issue with the song. It just hasn't really clicked for me yet. But, you know, I know you're in good company because I think I remember seeing that Gord said that that was his favorite at some point.
Oh, good
deal.
I like that.
Yeah. But if you ask me, is it on an intellectual level, I know it's a beloved song and it just hasn't kicked. I would swap it with Don't Wake Daddy, which is just outside the top 40.
I know that's a beloved song as well. That one never hit for me, though. I never.
Well, there you have it. There you have it.
Yeah. So we can swap songs, Tom. It works.
Exactly.
Oh, I love Don't Wake Daddy. It would have been in my top 20.
It's a great song. It's just definitely not in my top 20.
Yeah, it's just outside my top 20. Don't Wake Daddy.
Maybe.
Maybe. Isn't it funny that we can all adore this band the way we do, and our list can be so vastly, radically different?
And their catalog is so vast and good.
Well, and for me, I made a playlist of my top 20, and I listen to it usually whenever I just want to have music on, and it's a great playlist. It's a great 20 songs, but it's very interesting because I could easily make a completely different top 20.
Yeah.
And then next month you could ask me to do one and it would be totally different again. So that's what's really fun about it too, is the top 20. I mean, my favorite will always be my favorite, but you can definitely change your top 20 sometimes, multiple times in the month, depending on your mood and what's going on in life.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
I look at my list that I made around the time I was putting the spreadsheet together, and I'm trying to ask past me, why is Three Pistols not in that top 20? But, you know, I made that list and I'm sticking to it, because otherwise it's just going to change like during this podcast.
Yeah,
right.
For sure. That's why I submitted mine to him. I'm like, you just need to take this away from me now. Like, yeah. I need to stop doing this because it will never be completed. It will never be a final document. So just take this.
Is there any, are there any songs? I mean, we listen to this week to week. So I'm curious if there are any songs that have popped up during the week to week that you have, other than Springtime in Vienna, like we were talking about in a moment, that you've sort of had a little dalliance with after it was announced. And, you know, you went back to it and listened to it, not in a different way necessarily, but maybe in a more nostalgic way, perhaps. Are there any songs that popped up in the list, Sarah, for you that, you know, became like an earworm for you that week?
I think actually it happens every week. And then it'll be really interesting because in some way there will be a congruency with the song of the week with something else that I was maybe listening to already, or like I was saying earlier, coming back to Trouble at the Hen House, like Gift Shop was last week's song, and like we were talking about it being a really powerful opener. And I had seen the Strictly Hip recently, and like they had opened one of the shows I saw with that. And so it's very interesting how like every week it will kind of become something that I'm digesting in a new way. And then maybe I'll like go further into the album, but there's always something either with the song or the episode that's like in congruency with something that's like already going on. So that's been really fun too.
How about you, Shereen?
Can you repeat the question?
it was really long, I know. But it was, I just wonder if there's any songs on the list that as they've come out week over week that you've sort of went, you know, that might not have been in my top 20 or my top 30 or my top 40 for that matter. But
I think I've fallen
back in love.
What happens for me is I pull that album out again and I try to go through the whole, and like Music at Work was a good example. Like I haven't given that enough attention in years. Right. And then when I pulled it out and listened again, and why did I pull it out? What do we have from there? Well, I think it was
Music at Work, Lake Fever.
Yeah, it was definitely Lake Fever. And that's what I had to pull it out for. I love Lake Fever, right? Who doesn't?
Me too.
But then I had to listen to it and I'm like, oh my God. And now I've listened to it a lot lately. And I'm like, I just didn't give that album enough attention at the time. The other one I have to get back to is Now for Plan A. I've never listened to that one enough. It just, yeah. Never.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it landed two songs in the in the 30.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was very surprising for me. Tom, how about you? Is there any songs that have popped up that, even though maybe they didn't crack your top 65, you're sort of like, oh shit, why didn't that crack my top 65?
Well, there were four songs in the first 10, so from 40 to 30, that I hadn't ever listened to before they were on there. Those being...
Oh, that's so fucking cool.
Yeah, so we Want to Be It, In a World Possessed by the Human Mind, Our Transformation, and The Depression Suite, because they were on albums that I just hadn't... They weren't available to me at the time I got into the hip. Like, they weren't on Spotify in the UK. And... You know, by and large, they were hits for me. But in terms of ones that I already knew and that kind of grew in my estimation after that, they were both already in my top 65, but I think they would now be in my top 40, would be Gus the Polar Bear from Central Park. And to echo what Shereen said, Lake Fever as well. which those are both songs I didn't have in my top 65. I still don't think I'd have them as quite as high as they were, but I am glad that they got their due from the voting public and that they were that high, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it does.
I was worried that they would not be as high as I put them, and it turns out they were even higher, and I'm just happy about that. And I definitely went back to listen to them a lot more after that.
Of those four that you were introduced to, is there one that stands out to you as like a not a go-to necessarily, but one that you go to more often? I'm just curious, because those are all, you know, late era songs. I'm just curious.
I haven't really been back to them a huge amount, but the one that I thought was by far the best of those four was Our Transformation.
Very good.
Yeah, it just the way it's constructed, like the guitar sound on it. I'm more of a music guy than the lyrics guy. I just thought it hit me way, way harder. And, you know, personally, I don't think it's out of place at number 33. Not that out of place, to be honest.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't like that Gus is above it, but what can you do, right?
Well,
it's such an interesting, it's such an interesting experiment, this thing. It's been so much fun. I want to know if you have any, oh.
Yeah.
I've just seen that comment, yeah. And look, I definitely need to listen to the Depression Suite again. I know that. I know it's really highly regarded. I was simply not in the right frame of mind when I heard it to really take it all in. I will eventually go back to it, I promise.
I just said this to Craig when him and I were talking about, he shared that video with me from his band. And then I asked him, like, what song did you guys not cover? And he brought up the Depression Suite. And he was talking about, like, fans out west probably wouldn't be really receptive to it. And I'm like, I get that. I love that song. It's actually in my top 20. It's the first song. It's the song they opened, the only show I saw. But it's one of those that you just really have to be not only in the right mindset, I feel, but like the way that I can consume music. And after listening to your episode, Thomas is very similar. You just have to be in the right space to consume the piece of music that is. That's just personally how I feel about it.
And it's long. It's the longest song.
It is.
Right? Like, it is.
Yeah. You have to like sit down and digest it. It's like, you know, you have to consciously take it in, I think, at least the way that I digest music for sure.
Makes sense.
Grower. Mm-hmm. I mean, it knocks your socks off the first time, but it grows. It certainly builds. It's a tremendous song. It's one of my favorites at this point. I'll be honest with you. When I listened to We Are the Same the first time, it was the only song that really stood out to me, but I didn't love it. I didn't love it. So, you know, to speak to Concertholic, yes, it did stand out, but I feel crazy now admitting this because it didn't hit. It really didn't hit. I remember calling the album beige. I think I may have even said it on Fully and Completely.
That's
just how
point.
This shit goes sometimes.
I think so. I think that's valid completely.
Yeah, I think it's a valid point for sure. Well, and to Thomas's point too, that he made in his episode where he was talking about at the end of the episode where you guys were talking about listening to a song and you've listened to it 50 plus times and you still hear something different every time. I mean, that especially rings true with something like the depression suite for sure.
That's just so much of it.
Yeah, there's just so much of it, and there's just so many different pieces and parts of the story that, you know, that's why you just have to be ready to take it in.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Tom, I wonder if you'll share any of the interesting stats that you've managed to compile.
Well, yeah, so I've worked out based on the 10 songs I believe remain, and I would be incredibly shocked if it wasn't those 10 songs.
Let's hear it.
So I've worked out an average ranking of every song on every album, and so I can rank the albums by how highly all of their songs charted. Basically, with only 10 remaining, there is no way that order can change because the differences would be so small. And to be honest, some of it was a bit surprising. Not a huge amount of it, to be fair, but, you know, given, I mean, I can go through the entire list of 14 if you'd like.
I would like.
I'm here for it.
as we've just talked about, we are the same. That is at the bottom. One of the songs did not get any votes at all. So that's on an average of 126th. The songs on there. Man Machine Poem will be at number 13. The EP is at number 12. That is actually the lowest one where all of the songs got votes.
Right.
World Container is at 11. In Between Evolution at 10. And it's very, very close between those two. 105.5 on average and 105.0. Then in 9th, we've got Music at Work. In 8th, Now for Plan A, which surprised me to be ahead of Music at Work, to be honest, but that might just be me. Trouble at the Hen House is 7th. In Violet Light is 6th. Day for Night is 5th. Yeah. Phantom Power 4th. Behind Up to Here, which is 3rd. And I would have swapped those around.
Me too.
Personally.
Me
too. But
yeah.
Then Road Apple 2nd and Fully Completely 1st, to the surprise of, I don't know, maybe someone somewhere, but
it's not surprising, but it's
yeah,
disappointing or something. I don't know if that's the right word.
Yeah. Oh, so, shit, that's
yeah.
So cool.
Yeah, that's very
love it.
And I'm not going to say the exact rankings of those because it will depend on where in the top 10 the remaining songs end up. But I've had a good idea since about like song number 35, which songs were still going to be in that top 35. And Up to Here was the last album to still have 3 songs up on the board.
Does it still have 3 left?
It still has 3 on the board.
It still has 2 left. New Orleans is Sinking was the 3rd.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 38 Years Old and Blow It High Don't are left, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, all the others have been on the ranking at this point.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Any other cumulative stats that you've announced?
I mean, that's the main one. I think... I can say that the first album to have a song that's almost definitely not going to have any votes will be Trouble at the Hen House.
Coconut Thing.
Yeah. God damn it. I thought that was going to be number one. yeah. And then...
Wouldn't we all be surprised?
Yeah. And then you have to skip ahead to Music at Work with Wild Mountain Honey. Which didn't get votes.
Didn't.
No. Yeah. And then one song on We Are the Same and 2 songs on Now for Plan A also didn't get votes. And 1 on Man Machine Poem.
Which one on Man Machine Poem, Tom?
Pass. I'll have to check that.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
That's all right.
He wasn't ready.
I was not. Not for that, at least.
Any comments on any of that that we just heard, folks?
I'm checking these comments here. Hold on. First of all, I just absolutely love the fact that you have all this and that you've taken the time to just put this all together. Like, I wish I had the time to do this. So I love that you have, because I would be all over it if I had the time to do it.
I just had a lot of spare time at work, to be honest.
It's amazing, though.
Enough time to put a list together. And I have double-checked. Great Soul is the one song from Man Machine Poem that didn't get any votes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's my least favorite song on the record, so that's funny.
There you go.
Yeah.
I have zero memory of that song.
Same. I can't pull it out of my brain.
Yeah.
Oh,
same.
Of course,
like, I think I'm going to have to play this now tonight, because I'm like, it's not in the role.
I would sing it for you, but I'll kill it. I'll just kill it. But it's good. The music starts. No, I'm not going to. Yeah, I won't regale you with my vocal rendition of the guitar sounds that my mouth can make. So we won't do that.
I don't know. I might enjoy it. I might love it, though. We'll see.
So let's. I asked you guys to come here prepared with three songs that you think will comprise the top three. Don't have to tell me them in order, you know, which would be torturous, I think. The list is going to do that heavy lifting for us. So, three songs. There's 10 remaining. Which of those 10 songs will hit the 1, 2, or 3 spot? Shireen, what do you think?
So, can I ask, is it what I'm hoping for or what I think it will be?
Yeah, I think it's what you're hoping for.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Okay, good deal. I'm going to go with Nautical Disaster, Locked in the Trunk of a Car, and Fiddler's Green.
Oh, wow. Those are great songs. That's some darkness voice. There. There's some darkness there, Shireen.
Yeah.
two out of three of those songs are extremely, I mean,
they're actually
interesting
all pretty
songs.
All three of them are pretty dark, to be fair. Yeah.
I didn't look at that.
I'm going to be honest.
This is actually an intervention, Shireen.
Go ahead.
We're here for you right now, and we're going to talk about the rage issues that you have. Sarah J, what have you got for us?
Well, I'm going to go with two that Shireen said. I'm going to agree with Locked in the Trunk of a Car and Nautical Disaster, but nice. I'm going to go with Ahead by a Century. And I feel like it's hard for me to like throw so much confidence behind it, but I feel like that would be the biggest shock to me out of this whole thing, is if Ahead by a Century isn't in the top three. I've shared, you know, I don't love the song. I mean, it's obviously a great song, but it's not like the one that I'm going to pick to put on. But I understand the feelings that so much of the community has for that song. So that's why I think and feel really confident in it being in the top three. And if it's not, then I think that would be the biggest personal shock of the way that these songs have laid out, if it was any higher than in the top three, honestly.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
It's my number 12. So,
yeah. I mean, it definitely wasn't even, it probably wouldn't even be in my top 40 if I went that far with a list or anything. I mean, like I said, there's many, many other songs that I personally would
rather
hear, but
just from overplay.
Yeah, I guess that's my hot take. I don't know, but
and I got crap for Nautical Disaster.
I'm handing it out all over the place, Tom. You don't worry. You don't worry. I'll give it to her here. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you will.
What about you, Tom? What have you got?
So,
he's got his laboratory set up over there.
There's
some test tubes in the background.
Well,
he's going to predict
the 5 weeks either side of number 30 wiped out my personal top three. So I do still have five of my top 20 is still on the board. So I'll take that. So I've got my third favorite of the ones remaining in my personal number 13 is Ahead by a Century. My sixth favorite, which would be number 2 here, is Locked in the Trunk of a Car. And then my fourth favorite, which would be my number 1 then, if I'm not allowed Coconut Cream, then I guess it has to be Grace 2, would be up there.
Those are all fucking great lists. There is a commonality in all three. Locked in the Trunk of a Car.
Yeah. Yep.
In the top three.
It's just a great song.
Yeah.
If that hits high, that will be surprising.
Me? Yeah. I think this is fascinating. I mean, that's got to be a lock then to me. Like, I mean, you guys are a small sample, but 100% of you just put that in your top three.
See, thinking about it, right, that's a song that I'm not sure that many people would have as their number one, but so many would have it in their top five. I wouldn't actually be that surprised if it ended up number one through that alone. Like, I don't know how weighted you made your ranking system, JD, but, you know, it seems like a very universally beloved song, and we've already heard that songs that we thought were universally beloved clearly are not. So I don't think it'll be number one, but thinking about it, I wouldn't be as surprised as I thought I was if it was.
Yeah,
we'll see. 10 weeks out. This has went really fast. Like it felt like from 40 to 35, personally speaking, from 40 to 35 took a long time, and then I blinked, and here we are. We're cracking into the top 10.
It's wild.
So cool.
It's wild. But it means the event is coming, and that's so exciting.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, I cannot wait. We'll announce. No, we can't even announce it. Shit. Yeah, there's been lots of shit is going on.
Lots of things are always happening behind the scenes.
Yeah, and it's like I want to start fucking sharing some of this stuff, and I can't yet because it's not, ink isn't dry, you know.
Not yet.
But rest assured, we're doing our best to make this evening, October 4th, celebration of the Hit for ALS into something that is special for everybody who goes. You know,
it's going to be the best weekend ever.
There you go.
It is.
There it is. It's been said.
It's been said. I've declared it. There you go.
Oh, we've got a prediction here. We've got a prediction coming in. Mojo Paw is hoping for Grace 2, but he'd put money on Courage. Interesting. Nice. I'll take that back.
That's a good shout. It's 7th out of the 10 for me. It's obviously a great song. I don't know about that. I feel like, well, I would have thought before that on that album it's eclipsed by Wheat Kings, and obviously I was fucking wrong about that. but I don't know. I think personally, if I had to predict what's going to be number one, it would be my number 4 on the ones remaining and my number 14 overall, and that's Bob Cajun. I think that's going to win.
I think that'll be up there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I have that left
on
my list.
I wish I had a.
You wish
if someone were to tell me objectively Bob Cajun is the best hip song, I would buy that. Yeah.
Isn't it 1 or 2 on Spotify? It's pretty high.
I believe that.
I think Ahead by a Century are at the top, aren't they?
Yeah, those two kind of go back and forth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's a good litmus test too.
Yeah.
Is to check out Spotify plays.
Yeah.
I feel like that might be a little bit out of whack purely because, well, no, Bob Cajun is number one there, which is weird to me because I would have thought Ahead by a Century would be there purely by virtue of it being the theme from Anne with an E, but apparently that has not been enough.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would have thought Netflix on its own would have pushed that to number one by virtue of it being probably the only song that a lot of non-Canadians know.
Or Umbrella Academy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it in there as well? I did not know that.
Yeah.
They played the whole song, didn't they?
They did. They played the whole song. It surprised, like, I was just watching that show and I'm like, oh, it's the hair. I got so excited.
Katie, I need to watch the Umbrella Academy.
I think there was a guest that brought that up and I can't remember, but somebody did bring that up too.
Jake Gold? It was on that episode. I watched it recently.
Maybe it was. Yeah, when we were talking to him, maybe it was that. Maybe that's why I remember it so well. I was like, wait a minute, I think I remember hearing this. Which was a great time, by the way, if nobody's watched.
That was a great episode. I listened to it again this week. So, yeah, that was
so much fun.
Anything? Oh my God. Yeah, that was fun. I hope we shout out to Jake.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
So thank you for everything, dude. So anytime I can say thank you to him, I will.
Anything else regarding what has happened or what might happen going forward with the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown? We'll go around the table. Shereen.
I think we covered it. Can't think of anything else.
Yeah.
Tom?
Yeah. Same.
Well, you know, aside from continuing to be mad that some of my picks were way too low, I could do that all day. So I'll have to stop at some point. I already mentioned that Titanic Terrarium was way too low. Save the Planet, way too low. That should not have been the lowest ranked song on Phantom Power, Fight Me.
Agree.
That's fair. And I liked your version of it. Very good.
Thank you.
Agree.
Oh,
I did not hear this. Where can I hear this?
I submitted it to the pod list. That is how I got in touch with JD in the first place.
Oh my gosh, you mentioned this in your episode. Okay. Yeah, I just finished listening to your episode before we got on here, so I'm going
to
go.
I don't think I mentioned that it was Save the Planet on the episode.
No, you did not mention what song it was, so I need to go and listen to this after we're done.
Because we get into the fact that it was the lost song for a time. It was the song that when I went to put the list together, I didn't have, I just had the file said TDB. Yeah. And that's all I had. And I was like, racking my brain. No, it's fine. Normally, as soon as I get them in, I rename them and put them in a folder. And for some reason, I guess I didn't in that case, or went in the wrong folder. But we found you and you made it to the list. And that's great.
Exactly.
That was a lot of fun.
And I was just going to say, if there's one more thing I can bring up just to drag up basically the first comment that we got tonight on, to quote Concertaholic, fireworks beating 100th, come on. I think that's correct. Fireworks is top 5 for me.
Top 5? Wow.
Fireworks was in my top 5, yeah.
Fireworks. Great song.
I would say it's in my son's top 5. He loves that song and he always yells it. I take him to see the Strictly Hip, he always yells it. He always yells, play fireworks.
Yeah, it's just a great goddamn song.
I like it.
Yeah, it's not in my top 20.
It is in mine.
Fireworks.
It
wasn't
great. Yeah.
It is.
My son has helped me appreciate
it. It is. I had it. Okay. I had it 8th overall.
8th so overall. Third, 8th. Or no, you didn't say third, did you, Tom?
No, it's 5th.
You just said it was in your top 5.
It's 5th for me, yeah.
5th. Okay, right. Sorry. And you have it. That was your episode, Sarah Chang.
It was my episode.
Yeah. So I'm thinking you like it as well.
It's not. It actually wasn't in my top 20, but for me, it was more of like the nostalgia of the song and like hearing that on the radio and really like what that meant at that time frame for me really was, you know, and of course the line that makes everyone in my family chuckle every time because he says, you know, you said you didn't give a fuck about hockey, which is, you know, everybody laughs. That's me. So that's always a funny thing. But my son loves that song so much. So it's really helped me like have a new love for it because he will be driving around running errands and he'll just be singing at the top of his lungs. And anytime they play it at the Strictly Hip, like he goes right up front and dances with everybody and just has a great time. So I appreciate and love that song in a completely new way. And it's because I'm experiencing it through his love of that song now, which is just fun on a whole different level.
Yeah, that is. That's very really cool.
Yeah.
And as far as the other song in the equation that we were talking about, which is of course 100th Meridian.
Yeah.
That's in my top.
Great song. I do not like it as much as I like Fireworks.
Fair enough.
It's fair. It's fair.
Well, folks, it has been a tremendous pleasure to be here with you on a Friday evening. We're so glad that you took some time to join us. Tom, get some sleep, my friend.
I really need it. It's almost 2 a.m.
How many hours from now do you get up?
In about 5.5 hours, yeah.
Oh,
thanks for taking one for the team.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much.
It's been really awesome hanging out with both of you, and I loved it. We had two ladies here on the panel tonight. I loved it. Girl power. Fuck yeah.
Shereen from Sacramento.
Yep.
First time?
First time ever on a podcast.
How was it? How was your experience?
It was great. Thank you. Thank you for showing me the ropes.
First time, but not the last time, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yes, we would love to have you back. Thanks. Both of you.
Well, thank you so much for your time. And Sarah, as always, thank you for your time. And again, if you're watching at home, thank you for your time. It means a lot that you want to hear us talk about this stuff and you are enjoying the list. So that's great. So thank you for that. We'll be back on Sunday with the Sunday Evening Jam at 8 o'clock. And we don't have a theme for this week. It's just going to be a jam. I'm sure we'll talk about Thomas's episode a little bit, and we'll update you on the status of the Ultimate Superfan search, and who knows what else will happen. You got to show up because you never
tune in to find out. Right.
So thanks for stopping by. Pick up your shits.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. On Saturday, October 4th, North Star Bets presents A Celebration of the Hip for ALS. More information at dewvre.com/TTH Top 40.
Duvra podcasts and such.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.